Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, when it comes to church doing a better job, pastors get lots of advice, which is a good thing. There is always room for improvement. One of the biggest, most common pieces of advice I've received over 25 years is that we need to stop talking about sin. Now, the best advocates of that bad advice is that people do not understand what sin is. Now, that's a good point. But it's not a point to stop talking about sin. It's a point that we better explain what sin is. Yeah. Sin is failure. Sin is fault. Sin is error. Sin is a departure from God's righteous ways. And so if we were to picture God's righteousness, if we were to picture God's holiness as a bullseye on a target, sin would be the trajectory that our lives take in missing God's bullseye. Now, I think that's the reason why we don't like to talk about sin. None of us want to focus on our failures. Now, the problem that goes hand in glove with ignoring sin is our conscience. We all carry guilt and shame. Now, rather than listen to God's solution, we would rather escape our guilt and shame. Some seek escape through drugs and alcohol. Many seek escape through serial relationships, career advancement, academic achievement, people-pleasing, people-rescuing. Many of us escape our guilt and shame through taking holidays, an endless cycle of home improvements, binge-watching, doom-scrolling. We spend our lives escaping guilt and shame. Now, the Bible has a very vivid picture. It gives us a very vivid picture of our attempt to escape our guilt and shame. In the third chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, we discover the original sin. The first humans, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. They rebelled. They sinned. And in that instant, they went from relational transparency to shame, and here's the vivid picture, hiding. Adam and Eve hid themselves from each other with fig leaves, and they hid themselves from God with bushes. Okay, now we're ready to bring this back to Jonah. Just before we do, actually, I want you to listen to this. Hiding is where you and I are. None of us want the 1998 fictional movie, The Truman Show, to be real if we are the main character. None of us want to display our life, our daytime life, our nighttime life, our public life, our private life, to be displayed to the whole world to watch, especially if modern technology could work out some way of putting our thoughts on that screen. We are all hiding our guilt and shame. And now we're ready to bring it all back to Jonah. The short book of Jonah doesn't actually use the hiding metaphor. It uses the running metaphor. We're only three verses in, aren't we? Last week, we first three verses, and we discovered Jonah running from God. The simplest definition of sin is running from God. That's what we see Jonah doing, running from God. And today we're going to see God pursuing Jonah. Get that picture in your head. Jonah running from God, that's sin. God pursuing the sinner. That's grace. The simplest definition of grace is God pursuing the sinner. Most people know Jonah as the book with the great big fish. And as I mentioned last week, the problem with focusing all our attention on the great fish is that we miss our great God. Now, what makes our God great? Lots of things. But grace is right up there. His grace is something that makes even the most hardened rebel cry like a baby. God loves to pursue, forgive, embrace the sinner. Now, by nature, we would rather run and hide. And that's just not working, is it? Look at the levels of anxiety, depression, relational estrangement, toxicity, this overwhelming sense of hurriedness we all have. Now, like I said, a long introduction. Don't panic. It's still a normal length sermon. Here's what we're going to see today. Firstly, all sin results in storms. All sin results in storms. Life is complicated. Life is messy. Life is hard. Amen? And if we don't take a look at sin, we're not going to be able to make sense of all of that messiness. And so firstly, we're going to see that all sin results in storms. Now, because God pursues the sinner, we'll also see that God uses storms. You see, God's better story is full of hope. Even in the deepest storm that we might be facing, God uses storms. And finally, we're going to address the age-old problem of uncertainty. It isn't, I think, a big cause of lots of our anxiety. It's just the uncertainty we are facing. And so we're going to finish with a reminder that nothing takes our God by surprise. The title of that third heading is The Back of God's Tapestry. It'll make sense when we get there. That's where we're headed. And so firstly, all sin results in storms. Let's read from verse 1 again. Jonah 1, have your Bible open. Jonah 1, verse 1, first four verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Run, run, run. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Note the intentionality of verse 4. A storm didn't just happen. God hurled that great wind. So we're told Jonah ran from the great city. So God sends a great storm. Friends, all sin results in storms. But note well, that is not the same thing as saying that every storm is the result of some particular sin that we have to find. The book of Job was written to discredit that whole theory. Now, the Bible does not say every difficulty is the result of sin, but the Bible does teach that every sin will bring you into difficulty. Let me say that again, and then I'm going to make 4 points on it. The Bible does not say every difficulty is the result of sin, but the Bible does teach every sin will bring you into difficulty. Point one, sometimes God directly punishes our sin. Listen to God's warning from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, these things took place as examples for us. Paul had just finished writing about Israel and them being wiped out in the wilderness after God brought them across the Red Sea. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Now if you're new to Christianity, that understandably sounds frightening. You haven't got to know our great God yet. And so let me be clear. God is not eager to send thunderbolts down on people who do the wrong thing. That's not who God is. God, we see over and over in the Bible, is patient and kind and merciful. But God is not indifferent. God is just. We don't want a God who's indifferent to wrong. That would be like the parent who is indifferent to their child using illicit drugs within the home. Sometimes God directly punishes our sin. Second point, as we consider, the Bible does not say every difficulty is the result of sin, but the Bible does teach every sin will bring you into difficulty. Second point, sometimes the sin itself is the punishment. Bitter people end up with this twofold reality in their life. Not many friends, and the friends they do have are bitter people themselves. Sometimes the sin itself is the punishment. Third point. Some of our storms are the result of other people's sin and or the brokenness of the whole world, the groaning of the world that was unleashed when Adam and Eve sinned. Fourth point, Satan loves to bring storms into our life. Again, Job teaches us that lesson. When it comes to sin and sin's consequences, this world that we live in, life is very complicated. On the one hand, you will send yourself mad if you try and pinpoint every storm that is in your life to some sin that you have committed. On the other hand, you might just be missing God's loving discipline hand in your life if you are not willing to confess and repent of some sin in the midst of your storm. And so what do? Bring both hands together. Christians have a simple framework to remember that sometimes our storms are a direct result of our personal sin, and sometimes they're not. The formula is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Sometimes the storm we are up against is the result of the world's sin and the world's brokenness. Sometimes the sin we're up against is the result of our sin, our flesh, what the Bible talks about, our old sinful nature. And sometimes what we're up against is the devil himself. We're in a spiritual battle. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Here's how I use that framework in my own life. I have a couple of Christian men in my life as accountability partners. And when we share storms, when we share sin, sometimes we'll ask each other, do you have something to confess and repent of? Not all the time, I wouldn't even say lots of the time, but often enough to remind us that confession and repentance is part of the normal Christian life. Now that's a lot of talk about sin, yeah? I don't think I've seen you so quiet for so long. And so it's also important to know, we don't have to be paranoid about sin and sin's consequences. Our God is sovereign. This world is not dependent on, oh, how's good and evil going to work out? Our God is sovereign and he is good. Good is already won. And so here we're going to move to our second point. God uses storms. A quote I often roll out comes from A.W. Tozer. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. As you read verse 4 in Jonah 1, what comes to mind? But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Was God quick and delighted to hurl that storm? Was God vindictive and petty? Was God intolerant? Does God enjoy zapping sinners? What comes into our mind as we think about God when we read verse 4 is the most important thing about us. Yes, God hurled a great storm upon Jonah and the sailors. But as we keep reading, we're going to discover that God turned Jonah around and put him back on the mission that God originally gave him. And God used that storm to cause a bunch of pagan sailors to worship the true and living God. God uses storms. We see it over and over again in the Bible. God calls Abraham to leave his land and then sends him on a decades-long journey. Joseph, I think it was at least 13 years from his slavery and imprisonment before he was governor, 13 years. Moses, off in Midian, a land he didn't know, for 40 years before God brings him back. 40 years before God brings him back to lead God's people. And this all culminates in the ultimate storm. Jesus was betrayed, abandoned, and murdered. God uses storms. And so don't make the mistake that many Christians make with Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Somehow we can twist that into saying only good things happen to Christians. We do it over and over, don't we? There will be many storms you and I experience as Christians. Many storms that will have no answer in this life. But we can be sure of this if we are united to Christ. God is using those storms to shape his children, to shape you if you are his child, for his good, for your good. You know, one of the most important life lessons we need to teach each other is God is God. We are not. And that is good. You see, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, especially when in the middle of a life storm. God uses storms. Which brings us to our final heading, the back of God's tapestry. One of my favourite Christians when I need inspiration during life storms is Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie and her family suffered greatly through World War II. The Ten Boom family, they're credited with saving hundreds of Jews from the Nazis. Now, Corrie and her family's defiance led Corrie to being held in two concentration camps. Corrie watched many of her family, immediate family, die horrible deaths in those camps. You can read a story in The Hiding Place. And in the epilogue of the book The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom is this poem. It's titled, Life is But a Weaving. My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colours. He weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. What do you see? I'll tell you what I see. A mess. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, a mess was unleashed into the universe. Rebellion, sin, selfishness, guilt, shame, fear, and sorrow, pain and heartache. And at the same time, we are still living in the world God made. And there's love and there's joy and there's blessing and there's beauty. There's human achievement. There's family and there's friends. And we don't understand how all of it weaves together. But we can know for certain our God is the artist. God is weaving the dark and harsh with the bold and bright threads. Our God is in control of justice and mercy, of sin and redemption. of defeat and victory, of brokenness and restoration. And the reason we can place all our hope in God as the artist is because now we can see the centerpiece of the front of the tapestry. Jesus Christ. We will never face a storm greater than the storms Jesus faced. Jesus left the glory of heaven so that we can receive glory. Jesus hung on that cross so that we can rest in God's arms. Jesus was betrayed and rejected so that we can be loved and accepted. Brother, sister, do not lose hope. Jesus Christ is our anchor in every stormy gale. The moment Adam and Eve ate the fruit, God gathered the threats of justice and mercy, sin and redemption, defeat and victory, brokenness and restoration. Our God, our great God, knew from eternity what the front of the tapestry looks like. God is God. We are not, and that is so good. Do not live life without Jesus, not a single day. And do not do life without his local church. Storms are attached to every sin, and you and I sin. But Jesus Christ is solid rock. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, it is unfathomable for us that You know the beginning from the end, before time even began. Would we trust you? Would we run to you? Father, we thank you for your pursuing love, your pursuing grace. As we spend this term in Jonah, Father, just keep blowing us away so that we will less and less and less and less run from you and run to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our later sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.